They were always trying to trick Jesus into going along and contradicting maybe some of the religious laws of the day. Human beings, we're all human beings. Thank God we are. In God's creation, out of all the animals and everything like that, human beings are the only one who can verbalize and communicate with words that we can understand. But human beings have a hard time of imagining anything outside of our realm of experience. Not only that, but in our current culture, respect for authority has just kind of dwindled. Mistrust abounds, not only of each other, but of anything that smacks of authority, or even more so, of the unknown. We live in a day and comforting existence in which we can be sure of certain things. Or can we? Y'all are sitting in pews. We know for sure that that pew is solid because it's holding you up. We can see it. We can touch it. The air, on the other hand, can only be felt unless it gathers in clouds, turns to ice, or heats to steam. Then, if it doesn't do all those things, we can't see air. And yet, we are certain that it's there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be breathing. We sometimes take for granted the air that we breathe. One pastor did this one time, and I thought, that's kind of crude. But then I thought about it. No, you know, he's right. Sometimes we just take so much for granted. Just hold your breath for 15 seconds. And then we become aware we need that breath, that air. But as we believe things to be true, sometimes we cannot see, like I said, as the wind, helium, oxygen, natural gas. Still, we are conformed to a very comfortable and comforting laws of physics, science, our boundaries of space and time. Although much of these things are still unknown. We keep searching. We know there's got to be something out there. God had to create more than just us. You know, there's God with us. So we search, and we are explorers, and that's good. The boundaries, though, that we live within, sometimes I want to live comfortably. And we can understand this world. We can comprehend it. We can experience it. We can know it. And more importantly, we can depend on this old world because we're a part of it. And we acknowledge it. But what lies outside of that uncomfortable ability for us is very uncomfortable indeed, if we think about it. Even what we believe to be solid information can be undermined by modern physics. Are you sure that pew is solid? Or is it an illusion? Is it what we see is real? My God is real, but do what we see is real? And how do we know what's real anyway? I think sometimes it's only what we determined it to be. Think about these things that make us uncomfortable. Uncertainty makes us uncomfortable for sure. Nobody likes to experience uncertainty in what we're doing and the way we live. But it's no wonder that we're so uncomfortable with the idea of faith. To trust things unseen, unexperienced. The trust that something exists outside of our realm of knowledge and belief and even experience. Trust has nothing whatsoever to do with certainty, except that we feel certain of things that we can't prove. Faith is not a head thing, although sometimes head knowledge is what we have, and we say, yeah, I have head knowledge, I have faith, but it's not. It's a heart thing, faith. Our church years, we talked about All Saints Sunday today, celebrating all of our saints. It's going on before us, falling on the heels, as I mentioned, of All Hallows' Eve, which the world termed now into Halloween. But both of these holidays celebrate what we cannot see. We would prefer to simply honor those who have passed away in our surrounding church community, or even acknowledge these who have founded our denomination, like Wesley and Martin Luther and a lot of the others that started denominations that we hold dear to our heart. Religions, churches, faith, the celebration of this day called All Saints Sunday is nothing more than a simple thing called remembrance. When Jesus met with his disciples up in the upper room, and we're going to participate in the meal that Jesus consecrated in the upper room, as we call it, sacrament. When he was in the upper room that evening of his impending arrest, he initiated with his disciples a ritual and asked that every time that they would partake of food or drink together, they would do it in a sacramental of acknowledgement of his upcoming sacrifice and his identity as the Son of God, the Savior of humankind. So it was more than just a simple remembrance. Now, we do remember Jesus' sacrifice, but we also engage in what we call an intimate and supernatural experience when we commune with Jesus, recognizing that he is with us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, and he hasn't. He said, "I'll send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit." He is with us this morning. Jesus uses food, not because it was convenient, but because we embody it and we consume food. We embody not only the memory and the ritual, but the presence of Christ within our heart and souls. Now, we may see and experience the bread and the juice that we have prepared here this morning on the altar, but in faith, we know Jesus in a way that we haven't before knew him. Because when we break bread together, especially with the sacraments of the bread and the wine, we are intimately and dramatically connected to Jesus. And when we honor those who pass, the saints of our past, we not only call out their names as we did earlier, we acknowledge that they're still living and living among us. Now, we may not see them, but if we trust in Christ that his resurrection is real and he broke that bondage over sin and death, and those who live in him are also resurrected, then they too live among us. Jesus used an example in Scripture today of God speaking to Moses through the burning bush. Moses speaks of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says Moses was not speaking to those that were dead in the past, but those that were still living in the present. For what did he say? God is not a God of the dead, but of the living, and to him all of them are alive. That's a powerful statement. That's a truth reality. Jesus often does these things. That's why I like to look at the parables in this story. Jesus is telling the story of the burning bush in an entirely new way. The story for Jesus is about God and the nature of God. God is out of this realm of understanding, because it's hard for us to wrap our minds, our human minds, around something that we call God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's a concept that God is not only present with the dead, but he's also present with the living. We recognize that in the symbol of spirit fire at Pentecost. But all of those who have passed on before us are alive to God as well. God's ways are not our ways. God's time is not our time, and God's space is not our space. God's reality is not our reality. Our laws, created by God, more than just the Ten Commandments, he created all the laws of physics and all the time of space and death and life, are not God's boundaries as we understand them. The boundaries are only ours. God exists in an entirely different plane or dimension, if you would, in which appears to us as impossible and completely possible, and what appears to us as dead is to God entirely viable. For everything and every one of God's people from the beginning of time until now remain alive. God created our human minds in such a way that we can... Now, we don't call up the dead, but we got like a built-in camcorder. I can see my mom sometimes. I can remember her. It's fascinating. For everything God and for every one of God's people from the beginning of time remain alive. We may not see them and we may not acknowledge them, but God does. Faith means that we can extend our minds to accept this, even though our brains have trouble wrapping around it. Star Trek, Star Wars. Any of you ever watched the old Star Trek, which became Star Wars? I loved the original Star Trek. William Shatner starred in that as Captain Kirk. Interestingly, William Shatner is still living today. He's 90 years old, and he signed up for one of those Blue Origin flights that Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, put together. Now, they're not really astronauts because they only go up a certain, they break into outer space for a brief moment and then they come back down to Earth. But after Shatner took that trip, he was interviewed on the Today Show. And he revealed the strange feeling he had looking down at the Earth from space. Now, we don't have to go up there to do that. We have satellites and images and so forth, and they take pictures like from the moon. Some of those first moon guys, they took a picture of the Earth, and there it was. The blue marble, if they call it. Huh. So anyhow, he took this, and they asked him on today's show, what did he feel? What was the feeling that he could describe that the Earth seemed so fragile? And in contrast of the vastness of space, when he stared out into the colorless of space, he found himself seeing everything differently once he stepped back onto the earth. And he was moved to tears as he returned home to planet Earth. His experience gave him a new appreciation for the warmth of the Earth as opposed to the cold, dark, black emptiness of space which he saw when he broke that atmosphere. Shatner felt in leaving the Earth behind sort of like a kind of emptiness and grief that almost felt indescribable. But when he looked upon it, something that God created was the beginning of the story in Genesis. And we've heard it thousands and thousands of times. But it must have felt brand new to him in that experience of actually leaving Earth behind and entering into a place so vast and without boundaries, it's hard for our brains to process. God created an Earth. Terra firma. A place which we can have the kind of life that we understand and know. God created it all. Relationships he created in connection. Not only are we in a very large ecosystem teeming with life, but we exist in the midst of a vastness too big even to comprehend. God is, how vast. God must have I don't know how to even explain it. To have created all of this out of nothing. For who? Not for himself, but for us. He created us so that we can have fellowship with God. Imagine, not only God created, but continues to nurture us. No, he just didn't create us and put us out there. He continues to nurture us. He pays attention to us. He is concerned for us. He is present with us. And all those before become part of God's eternal heavenly kingdom, which until we get there, we won't understand. Faith acknowledges that it exists. Now, I doubt if any of us can imagine how it might feel to look down at our earth from the emptiness of space as Shatner did and the other people that was in that capsule, to acknowledge how small it looks and yet how special and unique life is. Out of nothing, God created life. And God continues to create life, to sustain life, to acknowledge life. What God has created and who God claims is does not die, but lives eternal with God. The Spirit of the living God is present in every one of us. We started out as a spirit. We didn't start out as this human suit, so to speak. We started out as a spirit, one of God's spirit, planted into the womb of a woman. That's why Jesus came through the birth canal. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit planted it in her. She never had sex with anybody, but it was God's spirit because he wanted to experience his creation so that he could understand us better and that we can understand him. We don't understand it now, but we will comprehend it. Where or in what way it'll be, I don't know. All I know is this. When Moses asked God, who is he? And who should I say sent me? He said, I am who I am. God said to Moses, because God can't be pinned down to one of our laws of physics or mathematics or even geography. God is not confined to a spot in the church, in a place, or even to our own imaginations. God is simply God, and God simply is. God is. God is everything that he has created because everything he created is. And because God is, guess what? We are too. So today, Tina's going to help me serve communion this morning. Think about it. As we remembered those who came before us, and we lifted them all up on All Saints Sunday, and as you partake in this meal, what we call Holy Communion, because we are in communion with God, a holy God and a living God. We are together with God. And as you contemplate God in this world and your faith, because faith is individual, relationship with God is individual, let your mind just be free for a moment to soar beyond what you know. Instead, let it marinate within your spirit. In the possibility or the impossibility or the supernatural things that this vast comprehension of God will portray and will reveal to you in a personal way. I can guarantee you, because I'm a human too and I understand human, times have changed but human nature's never changed, so I think I can guarantee you after you come and experience that meal with Jesus, you will never again not know a greater an appreciation of your reality. The place you call home in your life, your neighbors, and above all, your faith. A place you call home. The real person. I know that's Tina, and I know she said she was 60, but I really don't know Tina. There's only two people that know Tina. That's God and Tina, the real Tina that lives deep down inside. That's where home is. So if you look forward to spending eternity, which I do, as part of God's amazing and beautiful world, both in this one and the one to come, now, we may not know it yet. We don't know what's ahead for us. We don't know. That's why I try to live life 1 second at a time, because one day at a time is more than I can handle. But we do know in our hearts of heart that it's true. God is, and so are we.